Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Well, I want to wish you all a blessed and new vision, new year, all of you. And welcome to Vibrant Living as we expand going into the new year. So we're more like a speaker's bureau. We're more like a community of storytellers. I don't do interviews. I really focus on the journey of things. And got a new contributor today. I knew you're going to love her. I'm going to tell her story to you guys. She's known as the Phantom Priestess. Now, Phantom and Priestess, what is that about? We're going to get into that a little bit. Lisa LaRose, I think, is here. Lisa LaRose.
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. We got the Phantom Priestess. So the Phantom Priestess is with us. So way back when, beyond time and you know, when recorded time, you know, we relied on a different – this is really an interesting story. So one of my mentors is a guy named Sid Banks. So I met Sid. I want to tell you guys about the story because there's a lot in the story that I would love to share with you guys. So Sid wrote a book called Second Chance about probably 30 years ago, something like that. And it's the story of this man whose wife just passed away. And he's diagnosed with a fairly serious illness, and he goes to Hawaii. And I read the book, and I think, oh, my God, this is a simple book, but it's so profound. Because in that book, it's all about, like, how do you begin a new life? A life that's different than your thinking. Because what happens, we get into here, and then we're taught that thinking has this power, which it doesn't. So a lot of our thinking is just thinking that's sort of like conditioning. It's just sort of like we buy into it. And I call that thought viruses. So I meet Sid in a meeting that's beyond the known. Like, he's very obscure. He's not easy to reach. And I have this series of conversations. I know what I want to tell you guys. Thank you, Lisa. You sent it to me telepathically. Okay. So Sid was teaching this principle. He teaches the principle of thought. See, thought, mind, and consciousness. Thought, mind, and consciousness. And so one of the principles of mind is this moment where you realize there's something bigger than what you're thinking. That thinking pulls us away. And Steiner talks about this. He calls it alive thinking. So what I thought was really interesting, Lisa, because a lot of times in this world, we get divided by religion and belief systems, and this, you know, we get a lot of separation. So there was a Jewish guy who was a rabbi who was studying Sid's stuff, because people that have studied Sid's stuff have had these remarkable, I would say, awakenings. They've come out of serious depression and very remarkable. Now, so these rabbis heard about Sid's stuff in Israel, these older rabbis, like the ancient, sort of like in this old tradition. And the rabbis said, you know what he's teaching with these principles is what the old Torah talked about. And they used to teach. Well, they stopped teaching it. And the dilemma was they couldn't speak to Sid because Sid wasn't Jewish, right? Dilemma. So, and I'll say one more thing about Sid because I want to acknowledge him today. So when he was in his 80s, he dropped out of high school, ninth grade. He only read two books his whole life. One was on he was a welder. It was something to do with welding. And another book is maybe on constructing something. Now, before he left this planet, he gave a series of talks to the physicist at MIT. And after 3 days, they said, could you please stay more? We're just beginning to catch it. So his understanding of physics was at a level that they admired and related to. So today's program is, I wanted to kind of get into this whole, a new series in a film. It's called Vibrant Matchmaking, Beyond Dating to Relating, Beyond Dating to Relating. So I mentioned Sid because Sid reminded me during a significant crisis in my life not to take my thinking seriously. And he never answered my questions, by the way, because I asked Sid all kinds of questions, and he never answered my question. What he would always do is he would tell me a story that was sort of humorous in a way that would sort of redirect me. And so our 2-hour conversations were always, you know, he'd always kind of joke to me about something very, very funny. Like he told me about this guru as an example who invited Sid but said, don't bring your wife. This is a very famous guru, very famous spiritual teacher. And Sid brought his wife, and Sid was telling me that he ended up having a conversation about marbles and how significant playing marbles was. And I used to laugh. And so Sid's thing, if I had to give the scene in a nutshell, was sort of like to make the feeling of life, the feeling of Ohana, in your life and in your relationship, the most relevant thing, that feeling, that good, deep feeling of life. So I think I'll begin this. Should I introduce you to the priestess right now, the phantom priestess, and then I can explain why she's the phantom priestess?
Absolutely.
Lisa, I want to see if I – okay, here we go. All right. All right. Where do I begin? No, so in my work with people as a mentor and storyteller, I immediately get an image of them. So – the person who introduced us today, Tony, is the priestess manager, the phantom priestess. So she's a phantom priestess. Well, first of all, let's talk about the function of the mystical priestess. And this is very different than women's power, men's power. And honest to God, a whole bunch of this empowerment stuff is nonsense. The most relevant thing is relational power and how we actually set each up to experience these energies that are inherent and wondrous. So the phantom priestess, what she does is she invisibly and quietly, and this is why she's phantom, she's kind of invisible, she shows up on the scene and, if you will, sees and feels the energies that bring men and women together in a way that allows them to see and feel these energies, these authentic energies of the wonder of the yin and the masculine, the yang, or the yin. And their genuine authenticness comes to life with each other. And that's very, very different than the counterfeit way we've been conditioned. It's hard to bring language to this stuff, by the way. It's hard. I want you guys to wonder. This ain't no fixed definition here. But there's something that happens when, and Catherine said it so well to me, that when women live in a certain surrendered way, that's like another hidden power. And what we learn in this world is a lot of times we look for this external power and we miss these beautiful, blessed attributes, and we bring them to each other. We become the kind of union, and by the way, the kind of union when you made my birthday present last year, Lisa, and it's very much like the phoenix, the relational phoenix, because the relational phoenix is all about when men and women come together, they dissolve these energies of the past, and it kind of burns and clears so they can have a new union together. This happens in all relationships, but it's strong, particularly in marriage. So, Catherine, how did I do my definition of the mystical priestess for you, for the audience today?
I love it, Glenn. It's perfect.
You're like what?
I think it's actually very fitting and welcome. Today is a new moon, and we also experienced a solar eclipse, which is, and we just crossed over the equinox, so to have a priestess is a very, very profound blessing. So welcome.
Thank you.
It turns out Catherine's a very good writer, so we're going to see what we could do in the writing universe together, because that's a vibrant writing is something that has really been blossoming. So I love the marriage between science and consciousness. And so the Dalai Lama said it really well. He said that the most relevant thing is how does the latest science reveal something that even if we didn't see it before. So the latest science, one of them is the new attachment theory, which is basically the old attachment theory is that people need to break up when they have wounds or traumas or whatever. And the new attachment theory is that you could deepen your love. You could deepen your love. So the whole basis of vibrant matchmaking is to be able to deepen your love and reveal your love and see it together. So now we're moving from the we in a different way. Or as Chloe Madonna said to me, Chloe is Tony Robbins' relational teacher. I said to Chloe one day, and I'm going to talk about this in a moment when I went through these I'm going to talk about something that's going to reveal something about myself that I think you guys will be, well, I'd like you to be touched by. So, Chloe said to me, autonomy, shmonomy, it's the connection that matters. That therapeutical names and relationship don't matter. What really matters is this connection. And by the way, a lot of therapists do not have this education. As a matter of fact, did you say it to me, Catherine? You said it so well. What did you say about, I said therapy is dangerous to your relationship. And you said, what did you say?
Well, I said everybody that I've known that have gone to a therapist, they always tell the woman that the guy is a narcissist. And they're,
bingo.
There really isn't that many narcissists in this world. Everybody's yeah. husband can't be a narcissist.
Well, the other level is, in the latest brain science, we talk about neuroplasticity. So in the old decades, years ago, before there was neuroplasticity, they had this idea that someone was a fixed brain state rather than the brain could transform, and the brain could transform together. So beyond dating to relating, we're going to have an international team of people and actually play this out. We're going to have weekends. And also I'm doing a film on this topic, which is called The Announcement. Oh, a lot of this came, just to share with you guys, a lot of this came in my life when I had what I call a relational tsunami. And I started to, it wasn't dreaming, is what I call soul seeing. And that at night I would begin to see things and feel things and breathe into my body in a way I never had before. And that allowed me to get past a pain that I never had before. And so what I noticed in the culture was, and I want you guys to comment on this, in the culture, the languaging culture, the culture that, and I call these thought viruses. So the thought viruses around us are, if you listen to the language, so all of a sudden someone is someone's ex. That doesn't exist in my universe. There's an ex, there's moving beyond. Of course, there's divorce. This guy ran up to me a minute ago. I was on the phone. Was it you, Catherine? I was on the phone with you. I think I said it to you. And I said, divorce is the suicide of relationalness. It's relationship suicide. Thank you. This guy comes over to me. I was thinking, why is he coming up to me? He goes, just to tell you, sir, I really appreciate you saying that. I go, what did I say? He goes, the relationship suicide thing. So here's the thing. You come together to purify, to gain relational seeing, and discover a level of union in we. And I'll quote this from my friends who have written several books, have developed the Imago Method, that when you meet someone, the first sign you know there's going to be deep love is you're going to have the sense of a little bit of poison, because what's going to come up is the other stuff. But that is a phase that can only deepen your love. And what we do is we have a culture now and a languaging culture that calls things, whether it's narcissist, they have this whole languaging culture that's nothing to do with relational. So the relational world, funny enough, we see these things different. So after 30 days of this soul seeing, I came out of a depression like I never had before. I gained a new level of life. And I remember that morning, because the colors were brighter, and I had just coming through the soul seeing. Now, this would play out in my physical world in my left eye, by the way. I had a physical change in my left eye. So I met yesterday with Dr. Andy Rosenfarb, and I said, Andy, this guy's out of this planet, Lisa and Catherine. And he said to me, he says, when people come from the clinic around the world, the first thing you notice about their vision is it brightens. Isn't that interesting? It brightens. So when a person has a clinical eye condition, it brightens. And that's what I want for couples, that they see each other. And this is the spiritual or the mystical benefit is that, see, it's very easy to break up. You guys know that. You could break up in a second. And what I say to people is that a decision that you make about the relationship is a division from the relationship. So being in a relationship relationally is like entering another world where you're gardening and doing purification for each other. It's very, very different than dating. So therefore, that's why I call it beyond dating to relating. And when I had this last day, when I did this series of soul seeings, going back and forth here, I saw everyone in a different way. And people began to ask me, no matter why they called me, about relationship. And I thought, you know, so many people have said this to me. They've designed another way for me to do this mentoring and coaching and conducting work that I do. So we're going to, on the airways, I'm going to share with you this journey and also do this thing called Vibrant Matchmaking. Vibrant Matchmaking, in a nutshell, is the couple focus on the vibrancy and not the counterfeit. Because as you around someone, as you're around someone and you begin to quote-unquote know them, I say to people, don't get to know each other. Don't ever do it. Recognize and see each other. There's a whole bunch of people that want to get to know you. Stay away from them. recognizing and seeing someone is an unscripted awareness that you develop so you can experience the love and vulnerability that's beyond the world of the known. I'm going to defer to Catherine or Lisa. And our show today sort of developed about this relationalness and beyond dating to relating, beyond dating to vibrant matchmaking. How do you like this idea? You don't want to get to know someone.
Are you asking Catherine?
I believe it's true.
I believe it's true. Contestant number one says that. Contestant number 16. It's really hard, Lisa. When someone laughs, I'm like, that's it. I kind of melt, right? It's like, you know. You're easy. It's like, Lisa, I said this about you, too. It's like all the students that were glad I left the room, I would look at you two and you would be like, don't leave, Glenn. I'd be like, you know, touched. Because I couldn't stand. Listen, school was kind of like, I knew there was the biggest symphony of life. I began coaching when I was 17. I began mentoring when I was like 18. This other life was there. This, you know, Tony said to me, your manager, he said, he goes, you went through so much. He goes, how on earth did you do it? I had no idea what I was doing. The first time anybody ever paid me was someone gave me $10. I gave a talk in front of people that are primarily in their 90s, early hundreds at Fanny Schaefer's Vegetarian Farm in upstate New York. And this guy followed me after I got fired. I got fired because I couldn't be – all the other stuff was going out and partying. I couldn't do that. He gave me $10 and he said, keep talking. That meant so much. I can remember he placed it in my left pocket. So I went on to develop a seminar on how to create your own career. So a lot of this stuff, I didn't – and I think if you're listening and you're an inquirer, even in the so-called spiritual community, there's so much a combination of thought viruses and – utter nonsense. I'm just asking you to question with me. Not that I know everything. I certainly don't. I'm sorry. I bamboozled myself. So I had contestant one, number one and number two. Contestant number one, you said I agree with that, and I was going to go to contestant number two. You're laughing, and that's really a temptation for me to laugh and play with you more. All right. Lisa, go ahead and say something.
I am laughing.
That was you laughing. Okay.
Wait.
All right.
You know, I think it's an interesting dynamic in the world that we live in today because everything is instantaneous and we've sort of lost that connection. So when you say that about, you know, getting to know somebody, I mean, I think it's about being present, you know, and I know you're very good with this, Glenn. You know, you'll meet somebody on the street and you connect with them on a very deep level and you engage and you try to bring forth things that they may not have thought of. You know, to sort of, you know, invoke, I think, almost like a betterment where you can both grow from the experience. And, you know, it's definitely a gift. It's a gift to have. I think a lot of the connection, we've lost that ability in today's modern society. And I think with embarking on a new decade, I think that it's about reconnecting. I've seen restaurants being advertised where they put a little container in the middle of the table and they encourage people to put their cell phones in there.
Mm,
and
I love that.
Disconnect so you can reconnect. I think that that's really, that's why we're here. We're here to, you know, learn from other people and really evolve as
yeah.
in our own
yeah.
journey. So,
you know,
that's
I love what you're saying.
Number two. That's my story.
Number two. All right. Okay. That's number contestant number two. Contestant number one, we'll call you the giggling priestess today or the mystical priestess. By the way, so I want to ask you guys if you had the same – it's sort of a confusion. So mm-hmm. The confusion – okay, how do I say this well? So one of my heroes was a guy named Paul Pearsall. He wrote some profound books, profound stuff. One of the books he wrote about, The Heart Code, he was a PhD, and he really understood the immune system. He talked about in The Heart Code the ability, when he was getting radiation treatment, was to be able to send back a signal to the equipment. This guy's a PhD, a very profound speaker. And he says you can transmute things. We don't learn that. We don't really learn the inside out. So he wrote another book before he passed away called Toxic Success. And he said that Tony Robbins was the king of toxic success. And because I'm always inquiring, I'm thinking that's really interesting. Because there was a phase that we all went through, let's say the 80s, where it was personal power and now we have empowerment. But this other message, and you also have intuition. So I also say to people, individual intuition is one of the biggest breakers of a relationship. Now, why would that be? Why would I say individualistic intuition, personal growth, self-emergent movements? That means you focus on your own enlightenment, you meditate on your own. Why would these break a union? Why would they be destroyed as a relationship? Back to contestant one, the phantom priestess. What would you say about that? So why would it be that individually – what's your take?
Because when you're in a relationship, you blend energies, and there's certain gifts that the feminine gives the masculine, and the masculine gives the feminine, and you create a new energy together. And
So let me ask you a question. Was that what you're just saying, Catherine? And I like to learn from you. Was that very so? You, as a woman. You know, we went through many phases. I've read a lot about this. It's a very famous Pagliano's her name, very scholar. And she was saying, she could be considered a feminist, but what she actually said in one book of hers was, if the feminists got their way, they would have ruined the quality of life at Princeton University. They didn't like the way the men's teams, they're so focused on separateness. Is this a new education for you? Because you said to me earlier that surrender is a path. It's something that's opened you up to another whole world. Does this education, being a woman, was this very different than what you heard from other women? What, like, tell me how you discovered this now. And you're like,
it's very different. But I grew up in with a mainly Italian Sicilian family. So
yes,
it was always the it was over the top.
yes.
Everything.
Yes.
The women in our family made the men's plates, and the men ate before we did, and we served.
Well.
I don't believe in that.
Yes.
But I believe when the man loves you so much, he wants to please you, and you love him so much, you trust that he wants to please you. I don't go into relationships thinking the man means to do me harm.
And do you think that's a common? Is that a common thought system?
Thought system now.
Okay, and do you think that's perpetuated?
The media and society has perpetuated, and then I love a strong masculine man who can lead and guide me and make me a better woman. And I don't pretend that I know everything. I don't want to know everything. I love to learn. But I think the media perpetuates that they are a danger, and a lot of women are emasculating men.
Starting
with their own sons. And I'm afraid for my daughters, I want them to have a real strong man that can help lead them, and so they can feel safe to trust in him.
Well, thank you, good Lisa.
I was going to say, having come from an Italian family on one side of my family, I know that the men really honor their mothers and the women in their lives. And I think that is a real positive that a lot of people don't see, and they don't understand that that deep connection of in an Italian family. I don't know if that was the case with your family. Maybe you have something that you'd like to add to that?
I agree but my family was like yours, only half Italian. Like both my one grandmother was full-blooded Sicilian, and my other grandmother was Abruzzi region, but both my grandfathers were German. So I didn't get the grandpa being Italian kind of a thing. But I do know generally in other Italian families that are all Italian, that is true. They love their mother. Nobody can cook better sauce than their mother. if you're the wife, you cannot cook like their mother. You just don't even try. And some of them, I don't agree with this, but this went on for ages, where the wife is on the pedestal, so they'd have a girlfriend on the side that wasn't on the pedestal. But I don't agree with that, because I love being all the woman to them. I like being the naughty girl and the one they are. I have it all. I'm a greedy that way. I want it all.
You're the full archetype. You embody many archetypes.
I embody everything. Yes.
I love that.
I am sexy and beautiful and cute. He goes, some women are sexy, some women are beautiful. He goes, but you're everything.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's a beautiful thing. So what I found when I first stepped into this world deeply, I did it because of a devotion. I had to move past a lot of terror because I couldn't understand how much, I'm going to use some strong words here, violence and brutality was occurring in this relational world. I couldn't get it. I couldn't understand why it happened. I didn't understand. And so I had to really explore the anthropology of this, where it was sort of coming from. And there was a guy who was making a film at Harvard, and he said, oh, yeah, he goes, a lot of this modern-day therapy and individualistic and sort of his self-emergent journeys, it really destroys marriages. And then what began to happen was I met some really strong women who began to educate me and become part of my family almost. And they had me seeing things in a different way. So as an example, I was doing a series in Florida with an anthropologist. And she said, Glenn, in this situation, there's a lot of dehumanizing. And I started to realize when you form a consensus and agreement, you dehumanize someone. So, for instance, you said earlier about men being called narcissists. It's almost like there becomes a certain body of agreement that we go to that comes from separation. There's a website, and it's called Marriage Friendly Therapist. One of the big deals I talk about in this website, which I know to be true for my mastery studies, is that there's three domains, there's three areas. So one is neutral, a healer or a therapist that's neutral, marriage knowledgeable, and marriage friendly. Well, the whole thing is if you treasure this energy, this equation, this team, this we, as a we that's sacred and distinct biologically and spiritually, you're going to treat it very different. So I started to learn this in the same way that when I first met my beautiful wife, Donna, she had written an article for a magazine on dysplasia, which is a precancer. I don't think they call it dysplasia now. There's so many new diagnostics, but it's basically a precancer around the cervix. And she wrote an article, and I was like, wow, like we bonded a lot because I loved her inquiry. She's a young woman. She's already inquiring about sort of these treatments that could be hazardous to women that miss so much, and they still exist today. So this is what's happened, though. This is what I find fascinating. All the holistic types and people that are into green and organics, a relationship is an organic thing that you guys have together. That's a bond. That's a treasure. And it's also a living brain plasticity you both share together. It's a wonder. And so I think that what's happened, I don't think it is happening. Oh, look at it. I got a little bit of music in the background. Either the teachers asked me to leave the classroom or we're taking a pause. Yet we're pausing from the Vibrant Living Show along with Lisa LaRose, Catherine, the Phantom, Priestess is with us. You'll say your last name when we come back. You'll remind me.
Okay.
Stay with us. Your life's precious. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Lisa. Your life's precious.
You're
enjoy
welcome.
It.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life, ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs, and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome. Welcome to a beautiful new year. Welcome to new imagery and all the wonders of your life. And along with Lisa LaRose, we have Catherine, who's going to reveal her other name, because we have her as the Phantom Priestess. What's your other last name? The Priestess Phantom was your last name?
Zayak. Z-A-Y-A-K. All right.
Yeah. So I just want to acknowledge a few of my teachers who are family to me. One of them is Gerald Epstein. And Gerald is someone who impacted my heart and my soul for, I don't know, 30 years. He just passed away. His book's coming out in the spring, which I recommend you check out. It's called We're Not Meant to Die. And it's funny, he just passed away. But the whole, who else do I want to acknowledge? God, there's so many people that have invisibly touched me. Dr. Valerie Hunt from UCLA. And I want to thank the team, you know, Jen, Roe, of course, Lisa, Dr. Gail, Madeline Randall. And there's tons of people. We're putting an event together at Carnegie Hall. It's not just an event. It's a preparation and a dojo of people. What I mean by dojo is people that are reverent, that go beyond their own individualistic goals into having a big vision together of owning the stage together at Carnegie Hall for two nights. I'm doing a separate show on this. It's called The Road to Carnegie Hall, and we'll be on Vibrant Speaking and what's unique about that and our Vibrant Living team to Carnegie Hall. The show that's coming up that I think I want to invite you guys to be a part of and be co-hosts. So I teach people to be co-hosts over a year. I call it the Vibrant Host Training. I try not to say the word training because I don't really like the word training, but training, education. And it's very different than just hosting. There's so much learning about your breath and your movement and what calls you. Let me see. What else did I want to say today? So I think what I wanted to get into, and it's a little tricky because I'm very lateral today. So lateral means to be beyond the linear. You know when you're skipping down the street, and I want to ask you, you're skipping down the street. Now what began to happen, what happened in my life was I got tricked. I had the first phase of a transformation or improvement or whatever you want to call that. Now the first phase is I was very preoccupied with Glenn. Because it seemed like Glenn missed a lot of things, and he did. He missed a lot of things. Very limited impositional schooling. Or as Mark Twain said so well, he didn't let his schooling get in the way of his education. And that's a big difference. So what Lisa was saying is that I would meet people, and I would start to sense I had this relationship with them that was unexplainable, and yet was profound. Like I met this woman, Dr. Roxanne Dalio. She took me for this long walk one day, and she said, by the way, she goes, if you ever need to use my beach house for you and your family, and she handed me the keys. And I thought to myself, what is a life that we trust in a way that's uncommon? And that seems like a worthwhile investment. So with Vibrant Matchmaking, our new show, and I want to see if you guys are interested in being co-hosts. I'm going to send this out. So it's all about beyond dating. So dating starts from alienation to some extent, estrangement. And there's a chapter in my book I want to dive into with you guys. So the chapter in this book, which is called Divorce the Patterns on Each Other, the chapter is called From Be Strange to Be Loved Together. From Be Strange to Be Loved Together. And so it's this idea, you know how people say all those, the other things people say is they say, you know, the red light, I saw a red light, or, you know, the cautions. So a lot of what this show is about, it's a way of life. All my stuff's about a way of life. Of how to actually start the union from deep union. And so I want to acknowledge Michelle Wiener-Davis, actually. So Michelle Wiener-Davis is one of the leading researchers on divorce. And some of her talks on relationships I like. There's a lot of people that have moved me. But she said this one thing that I dig. She says the cause of your divorce, your division, your experience of alienation is family, friends, therapist, and I had to add to that list. You want to guess what the fourth one is? So it's family, friends, therapist, and I'll say why. So family, friends, and therapist. This causes great division in your marriage. What's the fourth group of people that will hurt your marriage? Contestant number one, Catherine.
Oh, I don't have any idea.
Okay, no idea. Okay, contestant number two is well-trained. We'll see what our savvy skills produce here. What's the fourth category, Lisa?
I'm at a loss, too.
Okay, all right. You guys are both. You still get the complimentary dinners and go to that big bar mitzvah I told you about. Okay. The fourth category.
Is it the church, maybe?
That's really good. I like that. Well, as you know, the church is responsible for destroying a lot of things that are real. And I get myself deep water. Imagine if someone took that out of context. Rafael Nadal, the number one tennis player in the world, he was saying he can't say anything because they take him out of context. They were trying to trick him about what women earn and men earn. And he says, well, I can't say anything because you guys are going to take it out of context. And then it's going to be horrible, right? So, so it's healers. Family, friends, therapists, and healers. So why would those people hurt relationships so much? Contestant number one, Catherine.
I think it's because whoever that they love or are close to or are healing, they are committed to that one person and not committed to the two people as a whole, the relationship as a whole. They're committed to that one individual, not their combined energy.
Yeah, it's the singular world. It's the me world rather than the we world. So, Lisa, contestant number two.
Well, you know, I'd have to disagree with the healer aspect of it because.
Okay. All right.
And I'm sorry that I have to do that. But
that's okay. That's cool. I still love you.
Working in that realm, and then working alongside so many other people who give up themselves in that realm.
Yeah.
And I know that when you were going through your relational tsunami, there were a lot of healers that encouraged, you know, rekindling and really supported you on that journey. So I would, I find that very perplexing. So maybe you can elaborate.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. Thank you. I appreciate your sweetness of listening. So, yeah, I do. All right. So thank you. So, okay. So contestant number one, my beloved Catherine here. So Catherine, so what happens is, and I think this is an anthropological thing, over the last period of years. So when I say healers, let me distinguish. Because anytime I've gone knee to knee, soul to soul, and I've really had a scientific inquiry about this, it's gone really deep. As a matter of fact, it was a woman in Colorado who's doing a lot of healing work, and she wrote me. She was practicing 30 years, and she said, you know, Glenn, since our conversation, now that I realize there's a relational field, not just an individualistic field, she says, I totally concur with you, and you've changed the way I relate to couples. So and it's not really a criticism. It's just that for a lot of healers, and not all healers, obviously, and some healers are terrific, and some healers, there was a kahuna couple who practiced mystical Hawaiian arts who told me they were totally devoted to my relationship with Donna. So not all healers, but the challenge is a lot of people that do healing work and meditation, it's solo. So when I approached the Men Law Center and I spoke to them, I said, you got tons of meditators coming here, and a lot of them are divorcing. And meditation could be a beautiful thing, but in terms of a relational brain and relational soul, that gazing and relational breathing and beginning a new a bond is, again, going back to the Dalai Lama, this is just different than if you're planning to be a monk or a solo person, maybe. But if you want to be in union, you must learn union skills. And yes, a lot of healers. Like I say this because I live in a sea of a lot of healers. I say this because a lot of them are incredibly ignorant. How did I do? That was my.
I mean, I think of our beloved team member, Dr. Gail Randall, who, has really encouraged a lot. I mean, just so many of the things that she has shared are all relational, and your work with her has been really profound. And I don't know, how many days did you have of meeting without
it? We had 152 days, something like that, 160 days.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But yeah. I think Tony loves this. He loves this, Lisa and Catherine. So when I call my relationship, it's really my whole relationship with Dr. Randall is miracle down by the dumpster. She calls me up unexpectedly, and the request from Tony, our office manager, is, can you speak to Dr. Randall? And I'm like, nothing else is more relevant. Of course. I drive to this parking lot of a Cumberland Farms, some kind of, processed dead food mart, if you will. I like the way I said that. Anyway, I parked in the parking lot. Thank you, Catherine. I parked in the parking lot. I think we got to pay Catherine yesterday just for the laughter, Lisa. Just for the laughter part. No, I think it's very emotionally helpful.
I'm smiling. I'm sorry.
All right, good. All right, it's all right. Please laugh up, if you will. So,
but because you had dead food.
Yeah, to the dead food mart. Yeah. So what happened was I go to the back of the dead food mart, and where all the food, so-called food should be in the dumpster, and they should be serving a live food in there. There I go. My children are going to be laughing. Stop it, Dad. So I love my children so much. I had the honor of being with Michael and Lisa yesterday. Just profound, profound. I just melted down. I sat there, and it was like, wow. It's parenting never ends, and you realize that each year goes by. It's another whole level of like, I mean, literally so many lessons. You know, the whole thing is a tree of life, and there's a tree of life and a tree of knowledge. And we got to be really alive, we want to keep growing in the tree of life. So I walk in the back, I have Gail on the phone, and I'm in a very altered state. I'm in a state where it's like I have this impending diagnostic that is like, in some sense, it's gotten into my kingdom. I feel very scared. I feel very uncertain. And no one around me seems like I could really share this with. Now, Dr. Randall graduated UCLA. I had a profound mentor who passed away. And she gets on the phone, and we had this mystical moment, mystical yet very practical. And I just said, it was like, have you ever told the truth so fast? I told the truth so fast, there was no nonsense anywhere. I just kind of said to her, very quickly, I'm terrified. This is what's going on. And the first thing she said to me, she says, I love you. And you went through this period of separation. And she just spoke to me. And she says, I'm totally here to take care of this with you. And within a little bit of that, she actually texted me and said, I want to be your healer. I want to be the captain of your healing ship. Trust me, I'll take actions immediately. Now, she said she was from Nebraska. She said, Nebraska, they don't waste words. So I called her back because I don't text. Because texting is not good for your emotional brain. The newest science research is on. It's got a good name too. The village effect. The village effect. We must see and touch each other to actually sense, right? So anyway, that miracle down by the dumpster. That began our meetings, and then I realized. Okay, so I'm going to give you something for the vibrant matchmaking, which is related to all this. And my family relationship with Gail is from this. So relational poisons are conclusions and assumptions. And so in the new year, you know what I love you guys to do, because I want to do it with you. I'm going to hold some free classes on the wonder of the power of languaging and language. And also I'm going to share some classes on imagery, how to use relational imagery, not just imagery for yourself, but how to use imagery in your relationship. And so assumptions and conclusions are the things we habitually. And this is what we were talking about earlier, Catherine, that,
yes,
right, because sometimes what happens, and I want to say years and years ago, there was a woman who said to me this one thing, it stuck with me, it was really interesting. She goes, Glenn, she goes, the time has come for men and women to meet beyond individualistic group and making up, projecting and making more of this relational poison in our lives. So she told me, she was a writer, and she said, you know, we got to meet together to actually reawaken the brain and the soul together so that the feminine and the masculine come together. Now, you said you were part of a school, and I know there's a lot of mystery schools, but I've been meeting some women recently, which has been such an honor. When I meet them, it's like meeting a deep family member, who are studying the womanly arts of surrender and attunement, and they say to me that their experience of power and connection with the universe and their partners at another whole level, and that includes wonderful, mind-blowing lovemaking. Share with us what do you want to share in that realm that you feel could be a mitzvah of the art. You know what a mitzvah is, by the way, Catherine?
Is that a Jewish word?
It is a Jew. Lisa came up with it last year on the show, I believe. Yes, it is a Jewish word. That was an improv. That was an improv, Lisa.
Is it an awakening?
You know, I actually like that you said that. Yeah, it is an awakening blessing.
Oh,
it's something that it's a blessing. As a matter of fact, I was joking to someone in the family the other day. I said you give out mitzvah blast, like you said prayer in the air. So have you heard the word before, mitzvah? Even though I said you invented the word, Lisa, have you heard the word mitzvah before?
I have, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. What does it mean to you?
I consider it a blessing. You know, it's a blessing. That was what my interpretation was. Absolutely. And I think, you know, every day, that's what, you know, no matter what the challenges, and we all seem to go through them, especially this time of year, you know, to see the blessings and, you know that whatever it is beyond appearance, you know, it's a gift, and no matter what it is, whether, you know, it allows us to grow, it allows us to become stronger, it allows us to embark on new adventures, I think. You know, so no matter what it is, I know you know that only too well, Glenn.
I tell you, Lisa, I keep beginning again. I have no idea where it's going to go, and then it opens up again. And one of my favorite books on this topic, it's called Beyond the Local Mind by Dr. Larry Dossey. Beyond the Local Mind is what's in the film, and it's also our new program, Vibrant Matchmaking, Beyond Dating to Relating. So I was biking one day, and I called Dr. Norm Shealy, neurosurgeon, my mentor. And I said, Norm, I said, it's really hazardous. People try to get to know each other. And he said, yeah. He goes, they want to recognize each other. And I realized, yeah, recognition. So I started to listen from that more and more with people. And as a mentor, as a conductor, I mean, honestly, I never really learned a career from the outside. I learned that people had certain things they wanted more awareness or knowledge of. And I realized that what I wanted to be able to be, I wanted to be an alchemist of wisdom for people in a way that they could bring this to their talks, a way they could bring this to their retreats. And I didn't really know this world. I didn't know it existed because my parents' mantra was get another job, right? That was their mantra. It distracted me from the other thing. So if you want to create your own career, or as my friend Rick Jarrow says, he actually wrote a book called The Anti-Career Guide because he felt that people's careers were blocking their chakras. So I was hanging out with Rick Jarrow one day, Lisa and Catherine, at this place called the Roe Conference Center. And it was a whole seminar on grief. And I realized I had a layover for like the next several months. It was just those energies were very heavy. And yet they're important to purify them so we could, so there's an example for a couple. If you're a couple right now when you're listening and you want to reignite your energy of your marriage, one of the things, the way you could purify, is to get someone you consider holy, bury your rings, and have the holy person bless your marriage yet again and again and again. So we did this course. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So it brings my heart alive tuning into it. And that's why the Relational Phoenix, which is going to be on my website. What is my Vibrant Living Media. I always forget. I'm always playing with VibrantLivingMedia.com, VibrantLivingMedia.com, VibrantLivingNetwork.com. That was my old graduation, VibrantLivingNetwork.com. Now I'm thinking about Vibrant Living International, Vibrant Living. It's all about Vibrant Living together. So so 2 years later, I spoke to Rick. You know, I hadn't talked to him in a while. And I want to propose this idea to you that some of the most valuable things in your life are going to be off the linear track, and they're going to be discoveries that make total sense to you, but not in a regular linear way. So I talked to Rick again, and he said, yeah, he goes, I've been depressed the last 2 years since that workshop. I said, I stopped taking it personally. I realized, oh, he had a challenge. He goes, yeah, he goes, I got to rewrite that. He goes, something was missing in that workshop. So we're all in the sense of relational discovery. And my concern about divorce and breakups is they interrupt this process where we learn. And we go from estranging our partner to be loving them, right, in a regular deepening process. So this type of matchmaking that I'll be sharing on a regular basis with people, vibrant matchmaking, is all about going to the vibrancy together rather than the counterfeit, because there's so many ideas and notions of separatism, particularly of men and women, that are toxic and don't reveal. Or as this woman, a friend of mine who teaches the Kabbalah, she says the best way to heal deeply in this life is to bring someone you think you hate and do the Kabbalah together. So if you think you hate someone, right, bring them together and let them study the Tree of Life. So when this happened in my life, my amplification of feeling this love deepened, and yet it was unexplainable because my beloved partner was gone on some level. Another level, I felt it was a reawakening that I never understood what deep love was before. So that's a gift. And at the same time, I knew this other thing sort of bubbled. So I realized if you're going through a crisis sometimes, like there's a gift of what happens in a way. By the way, Catherine, thank you for your flexibility. I gave you some very powerful feedback about your relationship, and I want to thank you for your receptivity.
Actually, yeah, a lot of things you said resonated with a little bit I told you beforehand.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you a lot. I even though I see a lot of people in some days, I still feel like a stranger in a strange land. It's not as if like, and I don't, it's not as if I know something. I'm interested in discovering something and sharing it. I got to tell you guys, this guy, the Iceman, I'm forgetting his name. You know the Iceman's name? I guess he's from the Netherlands.
Wim Hof.
Yeah, I want to tell you something. When he was talking last night about the purpose of a cult, I know this, I hope this isn't random. It's all about sharing a new life together. I just met a woman who takes cold showers with her husband. And I'm telling you, listen, that practice, it amplifies your vascular system. And I know it's uncomfortable and hard and challenging, but there's certain practices that are, you know, when you do them relationally, you know, like I have this piece, and I'll send it to you guys. It's called Divorce the Patterns on Each Other. Divorce the Patterns on Each Other. Exhale three times. Read that three times a day for 7 days. And the last thing I want you guys to do is say, yeah, I already know that. That's like the curse of learning. I already know that. No, let it become alive in your body and share it with your partner as a treatment. In other words, a treatment is something that goes deeper than your surface mind. You know, I used to go to these groups, and I would sit down in these groups. It was a groups on changing perceptions to love. And I would sit down, and someone would read a lesson, and I would be like, oh, my God. I would just sit down and be like, it was almost like I never heard that before. To the innocence, to going past the known. Because the known, in some sense, perpetuates things, so we become like zombies. So this is a zombie-free hour. And Catherine, why don't you and Lisa, you know, what's your New Year's message this year, Catherine? And by the way, I want to welcome you as a family member and work with you as a writer. So welcome. What do you want to leave the universe with, the listeners with, for the new year? Let me go to Lisa, the contestant number two, as we call
her. Like leaving this old year and going into the new year?
What would you want to share? I know Lisa was excited about.
Go ahead. Okay, I'm so excited about this year because I joined the dating site at the end of last year, this time last year. And I was failing miserably because I hadn't dated since the early 90s, late 80s. And then
even though I want to put all those websites out of business and end dating, but please. I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Yeah.
So I think it was just because it was the holidays. And so yes. So the serious people weren't on the dating site until after the holidays.
Yes.
But I
I like that.
But then after the holidays, things started
yes.
picking up. Each
yeah.
each
yes.
man was nicer and nicer.
Yes.
And
yes.
really receptive to me. And then
yes.
out of the
yes.
blue on Monday
yes.
night, I meet my
yeah.
soulmate. And so this year has been a
oh.
wonderful, exciting year for me. And it hasn't been all hearts and roses because, like you said,
mm-hmm.
we are so deeply connected. We both
yeah.
brought up the wounds, the,
yeah.
the inner wounded
yeah.
boy in
yeah.
him and
yeah.
the inner wounded
yeah.
girl in me.
Yeah.
He tried to push me away several times, but I'm so strong
yeah.
as a woman.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
just like, all right, I gave him space, and he would always come back. And mm-hmm. and so now each time we got stronger and stronger and closer together. So I am testament, even though I did not consciously know what I was doing at the time.
Yes,
but
yes.
everything what you've expressed here has
mm-hmm.
happened for me this year. And so now,
yeah.
at the tail end
mm-hmm.
of the year, I meet you.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
then I'm so excited into starting this new project and I'm very passionate about it going into the new year. So I think
great.
It'll be wonderful. And
well, I'm so excited to see your writings and work with you as a writer, by the way. So.
Oh, yes. That's the talent God gave me. I actually
yes.
work
yes.
through spirit. I will write
mm-hmm.
stuff and I don't even know how it came from me.
Aww.
I'll
okay.
read it later.
Can...
I'm like, I wrote that.
That's the name. That's your best-selling book. Who wrote that? By Catherine Phantom Phoenix. Yeah. By the Phantom Priestess is your. That's I guess your silent.
Yeah, I'm a phantom
yeah.
writer apparently too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Hey Lisa, it just seems like it's fun having Catherine in class. You know what I mean? She's, who could not like Catherine unless you know, big chip on your shoulder, I guess. So,
absolutely.
She's like the best of Judaism and Italian all wrapped into one red dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you want to leave with people with that you
well,
feel?
I think, you know, I think our journey this year, Glenn, has been through a lot of things regarding vision. You have explored, you know, it's about luminosity. It's about, you know, bringing in a new vision. And I think that 2020, which is ironically perfect vision, right?
So, no, is it? Right. I got to tell you something. I just got that. Oh, my God. That is a riot.
Right.
Whoa.
Right. So,
okay.
I mean, talk about, you know, divine intervention. You know, you spent the whole year exploring all of these different aspects of vision. And here we go into 2020. So, for me, it's about a clarity of vision, you know, taking in what you can. And I wish that for everyone.
Elijah, precious, enjoy it. And thank you, Lisa, deeply. Bless you, Lisa. Bless you, Catherine.
Thank you.
Glad you're a vibrant writer.
Thank you.
And welcome to our new series with Dr. Andy Rosen for our upcoming. I'm giving you guys a preview of vibrant seeing that you guys are going to be, I think it's going to transform your lives. And thank you, Chris, and all the wonderful, blessed people at Ohm Times. I'm so happy you're my inside partner for the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks. Thank you. Bless you.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year.